And here to talk about that game and look ahead to the game against Iowa State is the voice of the Jayhawks every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 785-738-5701. Brian, did you get much sleep last night? Because when you call exciting games like that, at least for me, I have so much adrenaline going that I usually don't get a lot of sleep.
You know what? I slept like a baby because it was such a full, action-packed, and fulfilling day. You open with the basketball game, as you should, when it's a matchup of two top threes head-to-head. But we had a full day of signing day coverage before that for a David Beatty recruiting class that we're pretty excited about for KU football. So between that start to the day and Bill Self's finish to the day, it was certainly a fantastic day to be a Jayhawk.
No doubt about it. It was. I took my son. We went to the K-State men's game last night because Austin Butke is from Beloit, and we wanted to have a chance to see him and catch up with him last night. And so this was probably the longest amount of time I had a chance to listen to the radio broadcast on affiliates over there and then coming back into our listening area. And so I enjoyed listening to you and Greg call the second half. Really did. I thought you guys did a wonderful job. And it was very descriptive, and I felt like I was there, and that's the ultimate compliment to a play-by-play guy, at least I believe.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man.
I think it felt like you were there because you could still hear the roar of the crowd all the way out in your part of the state because they were that loud yesterday. It had nothing to do with my depiction of the game. We just had such an amazing energy and atmosphere for a top two team coming in.
Yeah, you're right about that. You could certainly hear that coming through the broadcast as well. I mean, you look at this three-game stretch that Kansas had, and we talked about it last week that, you know, at Kansas, you expect to win all three. But I think, and we talked about this on the show when you weren't on with us earlier last week, is that if Kansas fans had to choose two out of the three games to win, I think the two that Kansas fans would have chosen would have been Kentucky, because, well, they don't like Cal Perry, and it's Kentucky, and two, Baylor, because it's at home. And that seems to be the biggest challenge of the Big 12 race. Yeah, would you like to win at West Virginia? Sure. But if you had to choose one of the three that you absolutely are forced to lose, I think most KU fans, even though that's a conference game, would be pretty happy with the way this played out.
Yeah, a lot of teams are going to lose in Morgantown. Baylor already got whacked in Morgantown big time. The first step in the recipe to 13 straight, if you're going to get there, is protect the home court. Got to go at least 8-1, but hopefully 9-0 at home. And again, we can't take that for granted. Look at how close some of these games have been. But you need to take that as your first step. And if you do that, then 6-3 away from home can win it outright, I believe. Now, Baylor may prove otherwise. If they play as well as they played last night, 15-3 might earn you a share this year because they looked awfully good. They are so long, so impressive the way they defend. Number one, defensive scoring team, number one field goal percentage defense team, number one three-point percentage defensive team in the entire conference. And we saw that for a good chunk of the game last night until about the 19:30 mark in the second half when KU opened up that 14-0 run and finally asserted their will a bit offensively. But my point is, I think you're right. You would absolutely take those two games. Not only were they against the two higher-ranked teams of the three, which certainly helps put a couple of extra feathers in your NCAA tournament cap, but it's also, you know, that inside track toward a Big 12 title and the marquee non-conference win that I think, you know, really helps you in terms of selection Sunday. And everybody, you know, is thinking about this around here. I don't know how much fans across the rest of the state are thinking about it, but you really want to stay at home if you can afford to get to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. We don't want to take anything for granted in Tulsa before that. But the fact that the Elite Eight and Sweet 16 is hosted in Kansas City this year, if you get in that Midwest region, I think that win at Kentucky helps you a ton in that regard because, you know, everybody expects Kansas to post the great stats in the Big 12 Conference and win that league. But if you can point to non-conference wins over Duke and Kentucky, neither of which on your home floor, I think, again, big feather in the KU cap in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to first of all, Coach Self and his defensive philosophy, because this has kind of been a regular thing that he's done over the years, is that when he feels like something isn't working or he needs a spark from his team, or if it's a desperate situation and down in the NCAA tournament, go to either a full court press or switch it up and go to a 2-3 zone. He always downplays it and says, listen, it's not a very good zone. We don't practice it a lot, but it's a change of pace. And I think personally, I'm surprised more coaches don't change defenses on a more regular basis, because we have more and more younger players that are in this game. Some people argue the fundamentals aren't quite as good as they once were. Whether that's true or not, I'll leave that up for debate. But when you play a team like a Kentucky, a younger team, or we saw even Kansas back in 2012 in the regional final against North Carolina, it took Roy a while to identify. They went to a triangle and two. There are coaches that are stubborn in their ways, and they're going to do what they do. I know Bill Self loves man-to-man pressure, and he got it last night late in the game. But it also shows, I think, the best coaches are the ones that adapt and understand, okay, I got to swallow my pride and my ego a little bit here, and we're going to mix it up, because if we don't, we're going to lose. And that's what he did against Kentucky, and it also helps his players rest a little bit because of the lack of depth they have on the team.
That's a great point there, too. I mean, you look down the box score from last night, 38, 35, 34, 38 minutes played. And even though you're still out there on the floor in a 2-3 zone or a triangle in two, in large part you're expending just a little less energy, which might keep those legs just fresh enough, you know, for one final burst down the stretch, which is what we saw when he gave the team the option. He asked them in the huddle heading into those last 2.5 minutes, do you want to D up man-to-man and prove that you can take these guys one-on-one off the bounce, or do you want to stay in the zone? And they all collectively said, let's man them up. But I think part in getting to that was throwing Baylor a little bit off its game, as you mentioned earlier, with the zone. It also buys you a little extra energy time. But I think it's a great point. If you've got a team that is cerebral enough to be able to interchange and mix and match its defenses, it really does put the opposition back on their heels. You know, it's not a 24-second shot clock, but even in 30 seconds, that first possession when you switch to it, mm-hmm. you can just see the other offense out of sorts and the opposition, you know, trying to figure out, okay, well, now what do we do? And even if you just did that for 2 or 3 defensive possessions a game,
yeah.
in games as close as these ones that have been of late, I mean, that could be what tilts the scale. So I completely agree that it's a great strategy for all of those reasons and more. And yet, they did go back to their bread and butter in the last 2.5 minutes, and it's great to see the way they hunkered down and closed them out in that stretch. And you know, a great example, and I mentioned this to Coach Self in our TV interview, which will air tonight on his various Jayhawk Network stations TV-wise. Coaches across the state, whether you're a YMCA coach or a high school coach or whatever, will point to that play in the last couple of minutes where KU had the ball offensively, and there was a bit of a bad pass right at the ankle tops of Landon Lucas, and it rolled between his legs, and they lost the ball. And Lucas fell on his tailbone, and he's on the ground, and 9 guys are sprinting down the floor the other way, and he's having to pick himself up off the court. But he busts his butt, you know, not 94 feet, but probably 75 feet, you know, to the top of the key on the other side, and gets there just in the nick of time to alter a wide-open transition three by Ish Wainwright, who'd been banking him in before that, and he caused him to double pump his shot and ultimately airball it. If that thing goes down, who knows? I mean, maybe KU comes back. They usually find a way. It's been 54 straight. But that was such a pivotal moment, and it was a great example of never giving up on a play. Don't mope and be dejected because they had the ball roll right through your wicker basket on the other end. Don't, you know, act like you should have had a whistle blown for a foul. He picked himself up, he ran down the floor, and he didn't get a block. He didn't get credit for an alter. That's not in the box score anywhere. You're not going to find that anywhere if you log on to KUAthletics.com today and try and see what he did there. But to me, it may have been the biggest defensive play of the game, and that's why you play until the whistle, and you certainly play even when it doesn't look like you can get there in time, because Landon Lucas did, and I think that may have saved KU's bacon when it's all said and done.
I would agree with you there. You know, Dwight Colby, 6 minutes, 6 rebounds. He made a nice contribution off the bench. Mitch Lightfoot did a nice job in 5 minutes, and they're not asking a ton out of those guys, but they're stepping up and making some plays for this team. And then, of course, Frank does what he does, 12 of 12 from the line last night, 19 points, even though he struggled from the floor. But I want to ask you about Josh Jackson, because you know, when you can be a highly touted recruit, but you sometimes can find out who the alpha dogs are and who aren't. And when you get into primetime games, I think the special players turn up their level or intensity, maybe a notch. And you could argue, well, why don't they do that every single game? But Josh Jackson, Kentucky and Baylor, he elevated his game last night. Another double-double, 23 points and 10 rebounds. And your call of his dunk there late in the game was a huge play with about 2:40 to go. Josh Jackson, I think he likes these primetime games against Baylor and Kentucky.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Coach Self last night when we talked, said, well, you know, everybody asked me what's gotten into Josh of late. I think he's been fabulous all year. And I understand Coach's point, but I think that, you know, if you really look at it, you go back to Coach's comments in mid-January, and he kind of alluded to there's an extra gear that Josh still hasn't quite kicked it into. There's still untapped potential. And I think we've started to see that, and it's exactly what you just described. Alpha dog, baddest dude on the floor. Give me the ball, get out of my way. I'm going to take it at this guy, and I'm going to score. We saw him flip that switch versus Kentucky in a matchup where Kentucky was starting three of the top 10 recruits in the country, guys he played on the AAU circuit with for the last couple of years, and guys that in large part he was always ranked just higher than, but maybe had been reading more ink about those guys and hearing more compliments about those guys heading into that game than himself. And we saw him with that alpha dog mentality, baddest dude on the block, you know, take the reins and come right at him. And I think last night we saw him take over the game. You know, you go back to Madison Square Garden, and this is where Coach's point is true. There was that stretch in the Duke game where he flipped the switch. And I don't know what it is, if it's just, you know, one of those things where he feels like, okay, you know, it's Frank's team, but this is a moment where I have to assert my will on this game. I have to do what I can do. I just feel like we've seen that more consistently out of him of late. And some of that coincides with the three ball going down. I mean, four for four from three, you know, versus West Virginia. He's had multiple threes in each of his last three games, all of which versus top 10 teams. As Greg Gurley said on the broadcast last night, if he proves capable in hitting that shot, because keep in mind, for the first 19 games of the year, he was a 25% three-point shooter. Now he's got his numbers up in the mid-30s. If he proves capable there, he may be the toughest guy to guard in America because you have to come all the way out. And once you come all the way out, he's blowing by you and tomahawking you on the baseline with a jam. So he really has stepped it up. And just imagine, Wade, and all of our great listeners out there, what is he doing if he could hit 70% of his free throws? Because right now that remains a major Achilles heel. You know, again, last night, 55% mark that he shoots on the season. And you hope that doesn't bite him at some point. But, I mean, he'd be averaging four more points a game if he was a little bit more consistent from his drive.
Yeah, he's been fun to watch, especially recently. Brian Haney's appearance here on the Sports Ticket brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle. 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. All right, so big week. Kentucky, a win there, then a win against Baylor, and now you take on an unranked Iowa State team that comes into town on Saturday. KU beat them in Ames earlier this year. That's a 1 o'clock tip, pregame 12:30 on Z96.3 Lake. And then a rematch with K-State in Manhattan on Monday. K-State lost in overtime to TCU last night, did not play very well, and I know they're disappointed in that loss, but we know they gave KU everything they could handle and then some in Lawrence earlier in the year. So it doesn't get any easier. I know it's not number two or number four, but it's still two teams that are capable if you don't bring it.
Yeah, I think that's well said, and you hope there's not a potential emotional letdown on the end of this stretch. I wouldn't expect that at home versus Iowa State, and I think they know what they're getting into on Big Monday at Bramlage Coliseum, which several guys on this team, and Bill Self as well, have said is their toughest road venue every year because of the extra venom I think the Purple folks have for KU. It's a tough venue for anybody to go into, but let's be real, it's a different kind of energy when it's a marquee game coming in there. When it's KU coming in. So these are tough games. And, you know, Iowa State, one of those teams you really can't sleep on. I realize they've fallen upon some hard times, losing four of their last six, and didn't look good, you know, in a couple of those setbacks. But they still have a lot of firepower in the backcourt. And we saw them play Kansas within four. You know, it's a situation where in that game, KU really held Matt Thomas in check. And he's one of those guys that can heat up and throw in four or five threes on any given night. Of course, Monte Morris, one of the best point guards in America, and then Nazmetru Long, a great guard scorer as well. So you hope that the Kansas guards can outshine them again because they don't have a true center presence on this team, which is a good matchup right about now for KU. But, again, you can't take anybody lightly because this is a club that was picked in the top half of the league to begin the year. It's a club that, you know, even a month ago I would have told you was right there at the top of the second tier of Big 12 teams. And as Bill Self said last night and as has been proven for the last 4 weeks, no night in the Big 12 Conference is one you can take off regardless of venue, not at home, not on the road. You got to bring it in all of them, and I think we'll see Kansas do that come Saturday afternoon.
KU now 20-2 overall, 8-1 in the Big 12, a one-game lead over Baylor, and, of course, hold the tiebreaker, and I'll have to go back to Waco on Saturday, February the 18th. All right, Brian, time for an off-the-wall question. You ready?
Absolutely.
All right, so here we go. I asked Ryan Lefebvre this earlier this week, the voice of the Royals, and I'll ask you the same off-the-wall question, and that is, what is the worst broadcasting setup you've ever had to deal with in your broadcasting career? And while you think about that, I'll give you my example, and the same one I used with Ryan the other day, and that is, I was doing a college game for a local college access channel out of Pittsburgh, because I went to Pittsburgh State, and we were on top of the roof of the stadium, or the press box, I should say, there at Missouri Western. And there was a whole bunch of other media. They were doing it on regular TV, Metro Sports at the time, I think. So we were pushed outside. And it was fine in regards to the temperature. But the problem was there was a whole bunch of hornets that were up there. And they were flying around and buzzing around our ears while we have our headsets on. And we were during the broadcast, we're swinging. Luckily, we didn't punch each other or slap each other, or my color commentator and myself. And we were whacking at these hornets trying to keep them away from us. I don't remember getting stung, but it was very distracting, and it was a hard environment. Have you ever experienced a difficult environment when it comes to a broadcasting setup?
Plenty. I think every broadcaster, if he's been in the game long enough, has had plenty of bad ones. My mentor, Tom Hedrick, tells the story of not having a phone line for a baseball call at the actual ballpark, and he had to call the game from a dormitory about 150 feet beyond the right center field fence. And the way he called it was he asked the umpire to make an even more exaggerated strike call, waving his arm up in the air so that Tom could see it from that far away. Think Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And that's how he called the games. I don't have anything that tops that, but man, I've done KU basketball exhibition games in Vancouver where I had to string 300 feet of foam cord crawling on my hands and knees underneath the bleachers, mm-hmm. and then call it, you know, from high atop the very corner of the gym on an analog line. I've done games this past year with Texas Tech baseball at Cal, which you would have thought a Pac-12 school would have great facilities, but we were sitting outside in 38-degree temperatures with rain coming down sideways, and I had my head wrapped in a towel because I had to go call an NCAA tournament basketball game 2 days later, and I didn't want to lose my voice, and I was just completely frozen by the end of the game. You're sitting in the elements just soaking wet, and you're thinking, I love sports, I love sports casting, but man, this is not a day where I really value what I do. So I think we've all been there, but good news is those are the exceptions, not the norm, and we're plenty blessed to get to do what we do in this industry.
You're absolutely right. Nailed that on the head. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Brian, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Best of luck with the calls against Iowa State and K-State, and we'll preview Texas Tech and West Virginia next Thursday.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, as always. Have a good one.
You too. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here every single Thursday with us on the Sports Ticket. And his appearance is brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. And they do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or give them a call at 785-738-5701.